The drought in Hawke's Bay has become particularly acute, leaving farmers to make some crucial decisions about what to do with their stock. As COVID-19 was cutting a swathe across the world, large parts of New Zealand were drying up and a drought was declared across the North Island, parts of the South and in the Chatham Islands in mid-March. Hawke's Bay has had it really tough. The region's had well below average rainfall for the past 7 months, and in some parts soil moisture is at its lowest ever recorded level. What's the real toll of having to feed out every day while the grass is unable to green up? Our guests are Jim Galloway, President of Hawke's Bay Federated Farmers. Morning, Jim.
Good morning.
Welcome also to Lachie McGilvray, co-chair of the Rural Advisory Group that set up satellite teams to help farmers directly with feed, with mental well-being, water and access to finance. Hi, Lachie.
Hi, Catherine. How are you?
Good, thank you. And Diana Greer, a farmer, has rounded up others in the district. We don't call you farmers' wives anymore, do we, Diana, or do we proudly call you farmers' wives? Rounded up others in the district to put food on tables. Good morning.
Good morning, Catherine. And no, we are farmers. We might be wives, but we're very much, you know, at the forefront as well. Thank you.
That was on my mind. But thanks very much for being with us too. Look, Jim, let's just look at the situation. The hope had been for decent rain by last month, well, certainly by this one. It's not come. And is the reality that you're managing a severe and prolonged drought? You're really into managing the way through now?
Yes, we're getting very close to winter because that's why you need the rain early to grow the grass while the temperatures are still warm. We haven't had that. We had a little bit of rain over the weekend. Somewhere we had about 18 mils where we were, but that will green it up a little bit, but it won't actually grow grass yet. We need that really good follow-up to get it to grow, and it's a long time till grass starts growing again in September or October.
It's a dry region, of course, the Bay. It's used to droughts. What's been so particularly difficult about this year's one? What's been its characteristics?
The length of it. It started actually last, we didn't get a lot of rain last winter. Spring we had a little bit, a couple of months were normal, but then November it started to dry out again, and we've just been so long with no rain. And normally, as you said, the drought breaks normally in April, maybe March, but certainly by early May, and we haven't had that this year.
So what is the situation for farmers in the region right now? We'll talk about the practical in a moment, but how are they holding up?
We had a brilliant thing on the weekend. The Wairarapa farmers did a Rapa feed run where they've donated, I think it was about 6 truck and trailer loads or so of feed up into Hawke's Bay, and they have been dry themselves, so it's been a great effort from them. That helps buoy everyone. A little bit of rain helps buoy people, but it's been mentally tough by seeing your stock not doing as well as they should be or could be, and your finances just going down the googler.
So you'd be welcoming what's happening with the Rural Support Trust and the likes of what Diana and her team's doing?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the work that's going on with the Rural Advisory Group, with Lachie and our team, and the, like those bakery and all the other help there is out there. There's a whole group of people doing a lot of stuff which helps farmers mentally and to get through. And the Rural Support Trust is just one key part of that, yes.
Let's look at the practical and what's going to be needed, in part just to have time to make decisions, time to restructure businesses as needed, whatever it's going to take. The budget out on Thursday, did you see anything in there that will help? Did you expect to?
There's some good things in there, like the training. There's some good there because we do need more people in the industry, and some have had imported people coming in, so that would be good if we can retrain locals that want a change of, or have to have a change of occupation. The $1 billion for the environmental initiative, some of it is on, a lot of that is on farm stuff. It won't actually help the drought. It's a longer term thing. So there is nothing in there that we've seen for water storage, which could help do the resilience of our farmers and our rural communities. And rural roading, there wasn't a lot on that there at all, because most of our produce doesn't start on the State Highway 1 or on a motorway. It starts in the rural roads in the backcountry and then goes to those roads. So we need to have good access for our production and productivity from there.
Back in mid-March, the Agriculture Minister made that drought declaration. It unlocked $2 million in drought relief. But the sheer size of the drought area was enormous. And this is the other thing, isn't it? Normally one region can help out another region. You know, Waikato might be having an all right year and can help out the East Coast. But it's just so broad, this one.
Yes, and that's where normally stock can go across to another area, or we can bring feed in from another area. But it, as you said, it's been so widespread. There's been only very small pockets of the North Island especially, and not much of the South Island has had excess feed either. So it's made it very difficult to do those normal management things that you do to move stock around or get feed.
So what are people doing? Are they destocking as much as possible?
Yes, people are destocking their capital stock, which is next year's breeding stock. So the ones that were going to have lambs in the spring or calf in the spring or have a fawn in the spring, those animals are being sold. And so the productivity of our region will be impacted severely for a year at least, maybe probably 2 or up to 3 years.
Is this where a relief package could be of some use, perhaps further down the track rather than now?
It's going to take a while, and we need to think longer term. What can we do to lessen the effect of these events in the future? You know, we're talking the here and now to a certain extent, but we can't lose sight of the next drought, because there will be another drought. So we need to keep that in mind with anything we do, that it's a longer term fix, not just a short term band-aid.
Thank you, Jim. Lachie McGilvery, if I can bring you in now, co-chair of the Rural Advisory Group, helping to coordinate the drought response. What is it that you're doing, Lachie?
Well, first, we're trying to gauge where the impacts are, what the needs are. And so that's why we set up those 8 satellite teams you mentioned before, Catherine. And so we started doing that way back in March. And so trying to get a feel of where the drought was. I mean, droughts are kind of like this living thing. They kind of move and evolve and change over time. And so originally, earlier on, where the drought was situated, some areas were running short of water for their stock. And so one of the satellite teams was to set up to see if they can help farmers get water onto the farms. And that was sort of like trucking water in. One of the other satellite teams is a feed supply team. And the minister is funding a feed supply coordinator. And they're working with our team trying to source feed from outside the region, what little is available, and then distribute that sort of equitably to those that are in need. And, you know, there's lots of feed plans, et cetera, being done, trying to assess where the holes are for individual farmers and what type of feed we can use to get them through. And so that's getting the farmer through himself or themselves and getting their stock through. So we've got an animal welfare team and a human welfare team as well. And then a sort of a Maori liaison, iwi liaison team as well, because there's a different set of circumstances that can develop there as well.
What is the? I was just going to pick up on the feed for a moment. What is the story with it? Is there any to be had? And obviously, everyone moved by the Wairarapa farmers' practical and psychological support in doing that run. But when you look at the need across the district, you know, where else can you go to bring feed in?
Yeah, well, we're certainly scraping the bottom of the barrel, and some of the feed that's coming in is pretty poor in terms of its quality. So, but it provides a bit of gutful in some situations, so we've got to add a concentrate type of form of feed to that, whether it be, you know, barley or maize or palm kernel or, you know, sheep nuts type. And so, you know, it's a balance of feed that we're trying to get out into the farms, and of course a lot of our livestock are naive to that type of feed, and so we've got to train them so that they can eat the right amount and not gorge on it and, you know, suffer, you know, problems, you know, potentially death for some animals if they gorge on it. So there's not much feed around, and so we're going to have to use innovative blends to get us through.
What are the messages you want to get out, including out to farmers themselves at the moment?
Firstly, they've got to look after themselves, and they've got to look after their family and their staff. And so that means sometimes taking time out, and you know, duck shooting's coming up this weekend. That's going to be fantastic for people just to not think about what they're doing. It turns into a bit of Groundhog Day for these guys. They're just feeding out all day, every day, and it's just burning capital, burning money, and sometimes there seems no end in sight. And so just taking time out, talking to friends and other farmers, you know, sharing a problem, having a problem type thing. So that's one of the key messages. The next one is, because we're, as Jim said, we're entering into an unprecedented situation, you know, unloading stock, selling stock into other regions is very difficult because there isn't a demand there. A lot of the stock is too young or too light to be sold to the works, and so somehow they've got to manage to get that stock getting through. And so they've just got to keep on developing a plan. And, you know, the first two or three plans may not be working because the rain hasn't happened. But, you know, finally one of those plans will be the plan that gets them through. It'll be that last plan. And so they've just got to keep on working, keep on developing ideas. And I guess, you know, the final message is, not to give in, you know, to keep on keeping on, and we'll get through there together.
You make the point, I don't know what's happening to prices at the moment, but of course the demand for New Zealand's agricultural products, including internationally, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to look over the horizon when you're in the middle of big problems, especially those affecting animals, yeah, and affecting your loved ones.
Absolutely.
But if you look over the horizon, what are you seeing when it comes to, you know, demand for these products?
Yeah, well, you're spot on, Catherine. And so if we think of a ewe as a unit, I mean, she could be worth $250 in the spring, you know, with a lamb at foot. If we sell her now, she's only worth about $90. And so, you know, that's a lot of feed we can put in to get to the other end, if you can get the feed, of course. But it's economic to feed them. And in previous droughts that Jim and that have been involved in, sometimes product prices have been pretty awful, and so there was no return in keeping on feeding the animals. But at the moment, there is. And, you know, I really firmly believe come spring, you know, there'll be a shortage of primary product around, and the outlook's quite rosy. And agriculture will drive, will, you know, keep New Zealand going and take us out of the problems of COVID. But for our local farmers, as you say, it's a bit of a haul getting there, but there's a light at the end of the tunnel, you know, and if we just keep on keeping on, we'll get there.
There are some Facebook pages up and running. I know there's a young farmer who set up a Facebook page to help mobilise resources. I think there's an 0800 number, is there, where farmers can get a consultant through Beef and Lamb?
Correct, yes, yes. And, you know, so Poppy Renton set up a drought page, and I think it's got 4,000 followers. They had a well-known farmer guest speaker the other night called Doug Avery, who's speaking on about farmer resilience. He'd been through some tough times himself. That had 6,500 views. And so that's generating a lot of good support and strength within the community. And then, you know, there's an 0800 number for feed. So farmers can ring in, and if they've got feed, put it there. Or if they're looking for feed, we've got sort of a virtual page where they can go to and buy feed. There's the 0800 Beef and Lamb number, of course, where they can get free advice to develop a plan, work out what they need to get through. And we've got the minister coming up at the end of the week, and we will have a mayoral fund, which will be announced then, which, you know, will be a considerable amount of money, in my terms anyway, and which, you know, will be available for those farmers in critical situations to procure feed.
Thank you. Lachie McGilvery, co-chair of the Rural Advisory Group. Thanks, Lachie. And Diana Greer, listening in, farmer who's helped organise the delivery of baking and meals to farming families who need it around Hawke's Bay. Diana, thanks for your patience. Have you given this a name now, this initiative?
Yes, I have. I was thinking, you know, a baking run is really a little bit old school Country Women's Institute. So I've called it the Collective Hug, because it's just what it's feeling like, all these wonderful, wonderful people who have made donations of all sorts of food sources and vehicles and what have you. So it's just a really good feeling. So it is really just one big collective hug. So there we go.
Another Facebook page, and on it, what's happening?
Well, this is actually on Poppy Renton's Facebook page, the Hawke's Bay Drought page, and I'd actually volunteered to make a couple of fruitcakes to raffle for her cause. And one thing led to another, and after speaking to Poppy, her mother made a comment that it would be nice to have a meal. And so from, you know, a small acorn has become a giant oak tree. And, yeah, it's just been mind-blowing. We've got some very, very generous people out there. So, yeah.
So what sorts of things are happening? Just lots of freezer meals being donated and...
Yes, a lot of freezer meals and a lot of baking, and Wayne Kirk Motors and Napier have offered us 5 vehicles with drivers, and StockX have offered us a fueled-up ute to deliver. We've had offers of wine from wineries, and it's huge. There's just so much. I've spent all weekend collating everything and contacting all the wonderful volunteers who have offered to drive and deliver the goods throughout the Greater Hawke's Bay, and Vet Services have come on board very kindly, and so they're taking all our you know, donated food and bits and pieces.
You've got what I think a list of literally a couple of hundred at least of people
definitely on a couple of hundred, but a lot of those people have actually been in touch with friends of theirs, and so, you know, so it's more than a couple of hundred people. I had a lovely young mum from the Rangitiki ring me, or it messaged me the other day, and she's getting a collective of her friends together to, you know, do baking and what have you, and they're going to deliver it to Dannyburg for us. So I had a lovely mother from the bottom of the South Island. What can we do to help? So it's all good, and it's going to make such a difference to these, you know, men and women, single shepherds who, you know, they go out and they do a full day's work, and then they come home and they're exhausted. And I mean, they are exhausted. We've been through several droughts in our farming career, and it's a pretty lonely existence, really. You know, you just, all you're doing is 24/7 you're thinking farming. What can I do to make it better? How can I help this? And, you know, the wives, from my point of view especially, it can be very lonely, because, you know, you're trying to be everything to everyone. You're trying to be the wife, the mother, the cook, the cleaner, the gardener, the school bus runner, you know, the whole nine yards. And yeah, so the whole idea of this is just to share the love and let people know that we're thinking about them. And I'm very impressed with how many people have decided that this would be a really great opportunity to show some love and respect to our farming community.
Good stuff. Thank you, Diana Greer. Thanks also to our guests earlier, Lachie McGilvery of the Rural Advisory Group and Jim Galloway of Hawke's Bay Federated Farmers.